73 years old, you know, and I just don't want to fool with them anymore. trust the God to take care of the problem.
Sure he will.
Yeah.
And help me and strengthen me and just help me to be what he'd have me to
Amen.
Be. I just love him and praise him for all that he does each and every day. And we can just talk to him anytime we want to.
That's
no matter
right.
what we're doing,
that's right.
we can talk to him. We don't have to stop. Even when we're busy, we don't have to stop.
Right.
He hears us just, he hears that just like when you're on your knees.
Sure.
He hears
yes.
us when we're standing on our feet.
That's
and
right.
I'm thankful for that. So you
can
bless
Let's take the hymn books, turn to page 143. Let's fellowship as the choir comes down. Page 143. Never yet been told. I have found a pleasure.
of glory roam. It is like a great o'erflowing well springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, or the half has never yet been told.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to ask Alex Hill if he would come up. Alex gave a speech at his graduation, and he was going to do it last week, and things happened. He couldn't be here, so he's been asked to do it this morning. So we're going to... where's your... You don't have any notes? Oh, I was going to say, surely he's not going to do this without the words or something. Probably. You go ahead.
Hey, everyone. How you doing? All right. Well, I wrote this speech for the closing of formal awards. It's not really that long, so it'll probably take like a minute at most. All right. I would like to say congratulations to everyone. We've worked hard for the last 4 years to earn these opportunities. None of us were handed this success. We earned it. I would also like to say thanks to the parents, guardians, teachers, representatives, and everyone that believed in us and helped us to get here. These people believed in us and our futures. We will not disappoint them. It is up to us now to make our dreams real. That's it.
Amen.
Bye.
All right. That's my kind of preacher. Short and sweet. Short and to the point. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy if he would come. Jimmy's going to come and break the bread of life this morning. And Pastor Aaron, if you don't mind, would you ask God's anointing on the message this morning?
With you, go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'll try to make it brief. I don't know if I can beat what Alex did, but I'll try to make it brief. Now, we appreciate our graduates glad to hear from them. Glad to know that they're out, that in their schools they get asked to do the baccalaureates and to do the religious, when they do the service, that it's our kids at both, you know, either at Sisson Mill, Ripley, or any of the other areas, they ask our kids a lot of times to do that, and that's a great honor for them to do that. Yes. Right. You're right. You're right. It's hard. It's getting tougher and tougher. But God will sustain us. He goes with us all the way, wherever we go. So. John chapter 10, we'll start with verse 1. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus, I want to go back to that verse. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. Sometimes that's us. A lot of times God is trying to tell us something, and it's like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really understand it. So we're thankful that he will break things down for us sometimes when we don't understand what it is exactly he's trying to say to us. So he did. He began to break it down with them. And then said Jesus unto them, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So in this verse, in this scripture, Jesus is talking about the door to the sheepfold. And, you know, it's interesting, that first verse, he said that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, the same is a thief and a robber. In other words, if you're not going in the way that you're supposed to be going in, then you're there for bad reasons. If somebody is at the sheepfold and they're not willing to go through the door, but they're trying to find another way in, then they're there for bad purposes. It says they are a thief and a robber. Back in this day, you know, the livestock was one of the most valuable things you could have, and so. People would steal other people's livestock. It would just be like stealing their money. And they would steal, and they would come, and they would take the sheep. And so Jesus makes it known that the shepherd is the door. He is the one that can go in and out of the door, and that any other way is going to be someone that is doing it for bad reasons. And then down in verse 7, he begins to explain what he was trying to say. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. And so when I looked up, I wanted to see what the definition of door was, because, you know, I know it seems silly to look up a definition, but sometimes you can pick up things that you take for granted. But basically what it said is that a door is either hinged or sliding or some kind of, but it's a barrier. It's a barrier that can be moved, or it's a barrier that can be opened. And so that's important to think about, to see doors as barriers. So I wanted to ask the question, or I wanted to make the statement, where is the door of heaven? Where is the door of heaven? And so, where is the door of heaven? Anybody have any answers for that? Might be kind of a trick question, yeah. Jesus is the door. He told us that he was the door. He is the door. And so the question, where is the door of heaven? Now, you go out in the world, you say, where is the door of heaven? They might tell you that the pearly gates are the door to heaven. But we know that the door to heaven is Jesus. And so the question is, where is the door to heaven? Where is the door of heaven? I want to go back because doors are so important. Doors have kept people safe for throughout all time. But I want to go back to Noah's Ark, because when God commanded Noah to build this ark, he told him about the destruction that was to come. He told him about the great flood that was going to flood the earth. And we've been told, and we know this, that people didn't understand what a flood was, because up until this point, there hadn't been rain. The earth was watered through the dew of the ground. So God commanded Moses, and he told him about this ark that he should build. And this ark was going to be his salvation. And this ark was going to be the salvation of mankind, basically, because everything else was going to be destroyed. And so Noah was faithful, and he listened to God's instruction, and he built the ark according to that which God told him to do. Even though we know he did it in faith because, as I said, there hadn't been rain up until that point. So we know that he did this knowing that God was in control, knowing that what God said was going to come to pass. But one thing we know about the ark and that we read in Genesis is that the ark only had one door. It had one door. And it said that it covered multiple stories. And so if you get the picture, you can see that that door would have been, part of it would have been below water if it covered several stories. So it had to have a good seal to that door. So as they were put inside, we know that God closed the door and that they were kept safe during this flood. But, you know, I was thinking about these things, and I was thinking about other ways that people try to be saved, other ways that people try to avoid destruction. And not everybody goes through the right door. And Noah, being obedient, being faithful to God, he went through the door that God called him to go through, the door that he built into the ark. That was the only door that could provide safety. And I got to thinking about Noah's time, and we know that they had oceans. We know that they had seas, because in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about how God would give Adam dominion over the seas and over all the fish and everything that was there. And so we know that at this time, if they had oceans and they had seas and they had fish, that one of the things that they had were boats. And so they must have had boats. Many people must have had boats. And so when this great destruction came, when the wind began to blow and when the rain began to fall and the waters began to rise, I'm sure those people that had criticized Noah, those people that had talked about him, those people that had railed against Noah for building that ark, I'm sure that they went and tried to find their boat at that time out of a panic. And so I'm sure that there were a bunch of people that went to their boats. But the thing is that God didn't call people to go to their boats. He called people to go to the ark. And so he provided one way of salvation. He provided one door of safety for mankind. And all those other people were trying in vain to save themselves through some other way other than what God called for them to happen. And so what we know that there were boats and people got in those boats, but what else do we know? None of them made it. None of them made it. Nobody survived that tried to go the other way of what God called them to go. They might have thought they were going to be safe in their boats, but that wasn't his plan. He provided one way and one door for people to go to be saved, even way back then. And so there was no other way to get in, no other door. And I say this morning, we talked about where is the door to heaven. There is no back door to heaven. There is no alternative way to heaven. There is no soft spots, or there is no windows or any place that you can go other than the one door to heaven, which is Jesus Christ. And so what they found out was that nothing else would work to get in. They had to go the way that God called, and that was through the ark that he had commanded to be built. And so there was no other way. There was no other way. They couldn't just grab onto some things that floated and hope for the best, because there was no other way but through that one door. Then I began to think of the Passover and how when in Moses' time, whenever they were in Egypt, and whenever God commanded that the death angel would come upon them, and what was their salvation to be? It was to be the blood of the Lamb, where at? On the door. And so I thought about that, and I thought about how other people tried to, in vain, to save their firstborn, other than trying to put the blood of the Lamb on the door as God had instructed. And I thought about those people, how maybe they took their sons and daughters, maybe they took their firstborn, and they tried to take them into a safe place. Maybe they tried to take them upstairs into the safest place they knew. Maybe they tried to take them into the basement. Maybe they tried to lock them behind some big heavy door that was there in order to save their son from or daughter from the death angel that was to come, the firstborn. And so they tried in vain to do all of these things. But God had commanded that there was one way that they were to be saved, and that was through the blood of the Lamb that was to be sacrificed. And so their salvation, they couldn't find it any other way. They couldn't scratch and claw and find another way to do that, but the one way that God commanded. Now I thought about the Red Sea and about how the Israelites were there and they were camped in that place, and before them was a great barrier. And what did I talk about earlier? That doors can be seen as barriers. And so they had a great barrier in front of them and they had nowhere to go. Pharaoh's army behind them, the barrier in front of them. And what did God do with the Red Sea? He parted the sea, but basically what he created was a giant door. He opened a door for them to pass. And so we know that the story goes, they passed through on dry ground. They made it through, all the way through the Red Sea. But what happened to Pharaoh's army when they tried to follow? You see, they didn't believe in God. They didn't have the faith that the Israelites had. They didn't worship God as their creator. And so the door that was open for the Israelites, it closed on Pharaoh's army. And so they couldn't sneak through and make it through the way that they wanted to. They had to come through faith. They had to come through in faith believing, in obedience to God. And so what I'm getting at is that God doesn't allow everything through. He allows what he allows. And he calls what he calls. And he opens doors for those who believe and those who have faith. But not everybody will make it through. What he says is you have to go through the right way. You have to go through me, is basically what he says. And so there is a barrier. There is a barrier. We know that that barrier is sin. For the wages of sin is death. So where is the door of heaven? We know who the door of heaven is. But where is the door of heaven? Jesus in Revelation said this. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice, and I will come in and I will sup with him." And so what we hear is that Jesus stands at the door. He is there ready to stand at the door. Where is the door of heaven? The door of heaven is there wherever you are. The door of heaven is there wherever a person is. They have access to the door of heaven. Now I want you to picture it like this. I want you to picture that as someone goes along through their life, they have these doors, invisible doors in front of them. And one of those doors is the door to heaven. It's always there. They have that door right there, but they choose not to open it. Jesus said that he is the door, and he says he stands at the door and knocks. And so what we have is we have an opportunity at all times to be saved through Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity at all times to open the door and to go through and to follow him and to allow his salvation to take part. We have that opportunity. And you say, well, how can you prove that? Well, you say, you go back and you look. And you look at the thief on the cross. And you know what? Even on the cross, he had a door that he was able to open. Even on the cross, he had a way out. And that way was Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Jesus said unto him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And so we know that even at that dour moment, even at that dire moment, that on the cross, he had a door that was able to be opened to him. You say, what about the other thief? Well, he had a door also. But he chose not to open it. He chose not to open it. He had a door to salvation. And he chose not to open it. And so he didn't make it. One made it, one different. You say, well, that's because they were close to Jesus physically. But he says that he is there with us everywhere we are. And so we all have this door to open. You know, you can have the door in prison. You can be locked in a cell and have a door that can open unto salvation. That's what he called. That's what he says. We have a door to open at all times. You can be at home. And you can go through the door at home. You can go through the door at church. You know, I think about Bernard, who went through the door of salvation in a barn. You know, we talk about the sheepfold. We talk about all these things. But the door is there. Salvation is there. The gospel of Jesus Christ is there. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so, where is the door to heaven? The door to heaven is wherever you are, wherever you ask the Lord into your heart. It says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. And so, just like in the days of Noah, there's no other way that you can get there. There's no other way to get in to heaven except by the door, which is Jesus Christ. You can't depend on a life of good deeds. You can't depend on being a good person. You can't depend on your family. You can't depend on your history in the church. You can't depend on all of these things, because the only thing that you can depend on is the door, which is Jesus Christ. And that is the way to salvation. We talk about all of these things. Right now, the world will tell you that there are many ways. They won't tell you specifically, but they'll say that, you know, they'll come up with ways that you can get there. And they say there's no one way into heaven. There's no one way into heaven. And that's the accepted, you know, thing right now, is that there's no way. God is not an exclusive God. God would not do... Well, I don't know what they're reading, because all throughout the Bible, he was. And he said to Noah, there is one way for salvation, you are to do it. And he said unto Moses, there is one way for salvation, and you are to put the blood on the door. And he said to the Israelites, there is one way, and you need to pass through the Red Sea. And so he tells us there's only one way, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It goes on, if you read the rest of it, of how he was to become that door, and how he said that he said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so Jesus Christ provided the way for us to be saved. Through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he made a way that we could be saved. So there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. But fortunately, we have access to him at all times. We don't have to come and say, well, the door is at church. Yes, there is a door here at church to salvation, because we preach the word. We tell the word. We let you know that Jesus Christ is there. But really, the door is wherever you are, wherever you decide to get it. And so, unfortunately, people go through life and they open the other doors that lead to destruction. You know what another word for door is in the spiritual sense is a decision. People make decisions to follow a certain path. In other words, they open a door and they go through it, and they end up on a path of destruction. But all along that path of destruction, Jesus has that door that says that you can open here and you can get off this path. And he offers us a way unto him. And so if we just open that door, but sadly, many people will go through this life and they'll have their door on the knob, and they'll never open it. Or people will tell them about it, and they never open it. Why? Because maybe they have fears of what's on the other side. Maybe they don't feel they're worthy to open the door. Maybe they don't feel like if they open the door that it's going to be right for them. Whatever the reason is, we know that one thing, Satan's telling them what? Don't open that door. Satan will tell them, don't open that door. It's not for you. Don't go through that door because you can't be saved. Don't go through that door because you're not worthy to open the door and enter in to eternal life. Don't open the door because then your whole world will be, you know, you'll be miserable. Don't open that door because you'll never have fun again in your life. Don't open that door because you'll become a hypocrite. Don't open that door because you'll become like all those church people. This is what Satan's telling them. Don't open that door. Don't open it. It's not worth it. You know what he says? Open any other door that you want. Open any other door that you want. Just don't open that one. You'll be happy with anything else. But just don't open that door to Jesus Christ. One of the saddest people that we know of is Judas. Judas, who walked along and walked and talked with the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Well, Judas was with him all the time. And Judas knelt at the feet of the door. And Judas listened to the sermons that he had to give. And Judas witnessed the miracles that took place, the healing that took place. He witnessed all of these things. And yet he never opened the door. Never opened it. He never opened it. And it was there the whole time. Well, it's the same for us. We can be close. We can even look and act and, you know, we might even decorate that door, make it look real pretty. We might even do things to make it look great. But if you don't open it, then your way is destruction. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says this. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so what he tells us is that the door to eternal life is through him, but that everything else leads to destruction. I ask the question, where is the door to heaven? The door to heaven is right with us. We can open it any time when we repent and when we turn from our ways and when we repent and we believe that he is going to save us. But where is the door to hell? Where is the gates to hell? Where are the entryways into hell? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. There are many paths. There's anywhere. You know, everything else leads that way. And so we know that there's only one way to heaven, but there's many ways. Many ways into hell. It's up to us. We need to tell people about this door. Tell people that they have the opportunity. Tell people that Jesus said that he stands at the door and he knocks. And that whosoever, you know, whosoever, that all-important word in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have eternal life. That is what we're after. That is what the message that we need to bring. Now, a lot of times we bring the message that anybody can be saved. A lot of times we give that message, anybody can be saved, but we forget to tell that there's only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so you're not going to sneak in. You're not going to sneak in. You're not going to follow mom or dad and just stick closely to them. And as they walk through, you're not going to just kind of slide in right behind them. That doesn't happen. There is no going around the back way and getting in. There is no waiting for somebody to open the door and then holding it and going in. That doesn't happen. Jesus Christ, he is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man goes unto the Father but through him. As we get a song of invitation this morning, as we get a song, don't be like the ones from Noah's day. Don't be like the ones from Noah's day and watch him build a boat and say, well, I've got a boat here. And say, well, what I have is just as good as what he's making. Or don't wait and say, well, once everything starts to happen, then that's when I'll make sure to make my preparations. Once things start to get really bad, once I get a little bit older, once I get to the last days of my life, then I'll make sure that I find a boat and get on. That's not how it works. The Bible says, thou fool, you know. He says that this night, this day, shall I take thee. And so we can't prepare for the future and just say, well, when that comes, I'll just jump on this and I'll go. That's not how it works. You have a door. You have a door that is unto salvation, just like I did. My door was at a camp a campsite, around a campfire. I wasn't in church. I was around a campfire. And I opened the door. And I made a decision to follow Christ. And you know what? He came right in. He came right in and he made himself at home. And that is what it's all about. You have an opportunity here this morning, not because you're in church, but just because we're telling you about it. You have the opportunity right now to open the door. Maybe you've got your hand on the knob. Maybe you're hesitant to open that door. Maybe you're afraid of what's on the other side. But what we tell you is to open. Open it. Jesus said, learn of me. Trust in me. And the way of salvation will be made available unto you this morning. As we get a song of invitation, come through the door. Come through the door and see what it's like. And become one of his sheep that knows his name, that is able to follow the shepherd and go in and out of good pasture. That's what it says, is that the sheep will follow him. Become a follower of Christ this morning. Become a follower and receive your salvation that he has for each and every one of us. As Ron sings.
Start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry and we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. And these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. So that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. Come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been. The coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost you have been found, all who've been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song. Come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Sit down.
that song, he kept saying the word all. God made it, he made it so that all could come, but he didn't make it so that you could come by any way. And so we're all able to come, but we have to come through Jesus Christ. That's all there is. That's what he spoke. And so we're glad for that. I was thinking, you know, Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he was a man he was a priest. And he didn't understand that there was a door that he needed to go through. He thought he was going through that door. He thought that he had it. And when Jesus talked to him about salvation, he was confused. He didn't understand. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of people who are confused. Our job is to take that confusion away. Our job is to make it so that it's not confusing. But how do you do that? You do that with truth. You do that with truth. And so we're thankful for the door, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything else before we dismiss? Amen. Bless you.